Welcome to Season 1 of Jesus in Montreal, a podcast of the Presbyterian College. Through this podcast, we are exploring the theme of Christian identity in Montreal. We are sharing stories of faith and work and music and ministry in this unique context, asking, where is Jesus alive and bringing hope and joy and transformation in the city? Our host is Roland DeVries, principal of the college, and our guest for Season 1, Episode 1 is Bernard Chassicot. Bernard is a musician, a visual artist, and a worship leader. For many years, he worked in art therapy and creative expression with homeless men at the St. James Drop-In, downtown Montreal. He works now with youth at a Maison des Jeunes just north of the city and does so with musical programming. We are delighted to welcome Bernard as our first guest for this podcast. Welcome to Jesus in Montreal.
So, Bernard, it's good to be here with you. Really glad to have this chance for a conversation. We've connected a few times over the years, and I was thinking back earlier this morning about when we've connected, and I think the first time was almost 20 years ago.
Really?
And I was leading I was a pastor in the West Island, and I was leading a public ethics series of lectures, and we created a poster, and you did the design work for the poster for that ethics series. You used a buddy of yours as the thinker, I think it was, or something like that. So you did some creative work for us.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 years ago. And then more recently, we did. You came to the church where I was a pastor in NDG, and we did this project on forgiveness, and you helped us.
And the prodigal son?
Exactly.
The painting, yeah.
That's it, the prodigal son. So so we've been able to connect a little bit through faith, through church. I've always been intrigued by your gifts and your ministry, and just thought you have something to share and to give. So
sure,
I thought this would be a great conversation as we talk about Jesus in Montreal. And I thought we could begin by talking about the film Jésus de Montréal, the famous film. I think it's famous in most places by Denis Arcand. And the podcast is Jesus in Montreal, the film is Jesus of Montreal, but just trying to pick up on this theme of what it means that Jesus is present, right, and alive in this city, because we're talking specifically about Montreal. And let me just rehearse a bit of the film, and then maybe we could pick up on a couple of questions about that. But it's sort of this ragtag group of actors, you know, retired, out of work, and they come together to put on this passion play. So this is Quebec, late 1980s, and they come to put on this passion play in up on the mountain, St. Joseph's Oratory. And they have a bit of license to, you know, to change the narrative. And they do a little bit of that creative work. And what's interesting in a variety of ways is that the way it tells the story of Jesus in such a new way, a little bit provocative, I think, in some ways, especially at the time, I think it was a little bit provocative. But what's also so intriguing is about the way that really the main actor begins to inhabit the person of Jesus in a way, sort of becomes Jesus in his own way in Montreal. And it's a film you know, I think, and a film that you love. How was it received at the time? Do you remember how it was received at the time, that film?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen it at the cinema. Sorry, my English. I'm not speaking as often as I used to, but I'll do my best.
Yeah.
So I've seen it at the time. And I remember getting out of the cinema and saying, oh, my God. This is so good. It was very well received, and the questions and everything, it was great. But what struck me in that movie is all the parallels that you keep finding out. Like you said, this group of actors, but actually this actor, Jesus, in the movie, Daniel Coulombe, if I remember.
Right, yeah.
He's the one who goes and get his actors. Like Jesus was choosing his disciples on the mountain, and the first actor who in the first scene of the movie is like John the Baptist was introducing, and all the parallels. And after his death, he's living in two other people.
Avec
ses organes, with
He donates his organs.
Yeah, so he's living in other people, and his fellow actors want to continue is what Daniel Coulon was doing.
Right.
So it's incredible.
It is beautiful. And they're telling the story of Jesus in their new way, right? They're being creative. Denis Arcand, the filmmaker, is being creative with the film, and he's taking a bit of license with the story, and you know that's what people do with the story of Jesus, and that's fine. But one of the things that struck me was that even as they're trying to find a kind of universal message, like it's kind of a universal message of love and sacrifice and service and just being in community together, somehow they have to come back to Jesus. It's as if they can't tell the story, they can't have that vision of life without this person, Jesus. It makes me think about Quebec culture and how the person of Jesus is maybe in a bit of tension, and people have a sense of him as being someone worthy and good and to be celebrated, and yet this tension with religion. Does that make sense to you? Or?
Well, it makes sense to me, and I can say as I went along and talking about Jesus and everything, the problem is not with Jesus, it's with the church.
Right.
That's the word attention is with all the kind of heritage that we got from the Catholic Church and people want to get out of that. That's the tension is there.
Right.
And recently with all the scandals and everything, it's still there. But it came to me like the problem is Jesus. The problem is not Jesus.
Right.
The problem is what we have done with his message and with everything that went along.
Right.
And that's the essential that I got through the years. Jesus is okay, but what have we done with it?
Right. Yeah, and that's true. You watch the film and Jesus is at the center of it. And there it never is a problem with Jesus. It's always the people around him, even within that narrative. Mm-hmm. It's the consumerism. It's the church. It's power. The problem is never with Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, and also to control the message. And you can't do that. It's always been done this way. You can't change it.
Right.
And this talks to me too, because am I like that too? Like, it's always been done like that. So, yeah, well, can we change it? Should we?
Right.
What does it mean to me?
Yeah, so we've met Jesus in this way. We've experienced him. We've lived our faith in this way. And how quickly, even if that was fresh at one time, how quickly it becomes, well, this is the way we have to, where we have to find him. This is where we have to see him. This is what he's doing in this way, how quickly we find ourselves back there again.
And I remember the first time I've watched it, at one point in the film they say that the Jewish people were saying that he was the son of a Roman soldier, and at first thing, well, you can't say that. It's like, oh my, you know?
Yeah.
And I've watched it last week, and what Denis Arcand is saying, the Jewish were saying that he was. He's not saying that Jesus was, but right, they were saying. But our first reaction is, you can't say that.
Right.
No.
Yeah, and so that's interesting. We want to put Jesus within this pretty well-defined box for ourselves. And if we're going to meet him, if he's actually alive, then this is where we're going to meet him. This is where we're, and anything that challenges that, whether or not it has merit or not, it might have merit, it might not have merit, but our reaction is often defensive.
Yeah.
And
well, if I can say this, well, I don't know if I'll say it well, but if Jesus is really what he is, he will meet us in a divine way. And that's what happened in my life. So that's why I know that he's alive. And the way he's speaking to me, the way he's alive in my life, that's the way I know that he's really what he is. And if I'm afraid that every time that there's something that, I don't know. Anyway, the story of my life has never been a story of I'm comfortable. So anyway, so what I know about him is I really believe that he's alive, because I've experimented his life in my life. So I'm not afraid of, maybe, yeah, yeah, this can, okay.
Yeah.
And as an artist, too, right. You have to live this way.
Right.
Well, that's my life.
Yeah, there's a kind of openness there. I wonder if we could talk, you've talked, just opened up about your own faith and your own experiences. I know that a big part of your faith is has been, not only, but has been around leading in worship. Could you say more about that? You've led worship for many years in your church. I know that sometimes for worship leaders, you know, I lead in my own way as a preacher and teacher, and leading in prayer. Sometimes you can have a more personal and engaged experience of faith in leadership. Sometimes, you know, you feel distant from the thing you're doing. And I'm just wondering, like, in terms of your experience of being a worship leader, how have you sensed the presence of Jesus in and through that?
Well, first, my first experience in worship was a Thursday night when my friend Pierre, who was playing guitar, he was leading the worship the next day in InterVarsity camp with students. And he said to me, I can't go, I can't be there tomorrow night. So I'm looking for somebody who can lead the worship. I said, well, I can do it. He said, do you play guitar? I said, no. I said, but show me. So he showed me two chords that night. And then the next night I was leading worship.
Wow.
So it's a good thing that there was no iPhones or anything in those days. So in my memory, it seems all right, but maybe it was awful. Probably it was. The hardest time that I had with leading worship was when I was starting to work with people, with homeless people in the early 2000s. And I was spending my week with people who had no food, no money, no nothing. And I was leading worship in a church on the North Shore, at Rosemar, where there was not that kind of problem. So it was big suffering during the week, and in the weekend, hallelujah, God, you're good. And so it was very hard for me. I couldn't relate.
Yeah, I couldn't make the link between those two realities.
Between the two, like, oh, you have everything. Amen, Jesus, it's great. Je te loue, Seigneur.
Right.
And everything. And suffering during the week. And at one point, it came to me that there was suffering in that, in Rosemar too. They're suffering, people are suffering. And it came to me, a woman came to me and said, thank you, Bernard, because the only time I feel happy in the week is when I sing the worship.
Right.
I said, okay, I'll keep on doing it.
Right.
Yeah, because it brings joy. It takes people where God wants to take them. I want to serve that.
I'm interested too in, for you, this sort of another transition. You talked about the transition from working with the drop-in center and the homeless men mm-hmm. there and the tension between that and worship. And also in the shift from leading worship, where it's all about encountering Christ, it's all about what God is doing, to this other context now in which you're also doing music, mm-hmm. which is out in the culture, out in the public context. And so you're doing that with youth, right? And there's a lot of music work that you're doing with youth in your community. And so how do you think about that, the difference between leading worship, where it's so evident that this is all about Jesus, and it's all about Jesus showing up, now in this other context where you're leading in music, but I mean, it's different. Where is Jesus? So what's your sense of that transition? And
yeah. I work in Maison de Jeunes, and I'm in charge of the music project in there. And so we take teenagers from 12 to 17, and we teach them to play bass, drums, keyboard, guitar, sing. So we've been asked this summer from the l'Office de l'Habitation, home for the people in les assistés sociaux.
Assisted living or social assistance?
Well, social houses, okay. For the people who have less money.
Okay.
So there's l'Office d'Habitation de Montréal. And we've been asked to do 14 shows in front of the buildings. So in that, so we've built a repertoire, and we played 14 shows. And for the kids, they've learned how to work together, how to do shows, and they were getting better and better, and they've learned to have more self-esteem, more confidence in what they were doing. And they've played in front of people who, and they were just in front of them, and they saw the people crying when they were playing, and they were singing, and they got some feedbacks from the crowd. So for me, being a believer and helping teenagers to live that and to build them through all that, that's being Jesus in the context, in that context. And that's what I'm living for. Hmm. And it's about love. So if I want to talk about the gospel to these kids, and they know that I'm a Christian, they know I believe, if I want to talk about love, the first thing I need to do to them is to love them.
Right.
So it's no use talking about love and just running away. Right. Jesus went in our world of suffering, so I'll go in their world of suffering, and I will start helping them and love them in their context. A lot of those kids don't have a father figure in their lives. And at the end of the summer, there was this young adult who was going for the weekend with these three teenagers, and he's a good kid. And they went for the weekend, but he called me on Friday night, and they just had an accident.
Oh, no.
So I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, but we have to go to the hospital. And they were at Saint-Jean-Richelieu. And I asked him, do you want me to go there? And he said, yeah. So I went to spend the night at the hospital with them. And one of the kids, who also was in the band, and he was waiting for a blood and prise de sang.
Yeah, blood transfusion.
Not transfusion, but
drawing, just, taking blood. Yeah.
Because he was okay. Yeah. And the doctor came in the room and said, that's your father? He said, no, that's Byrne. He's always there when we need him. So I said, okay, fine. So for me, it's being Jesus with those teenagers.
Yeah, it's sort of embodying that compassion, that love. I mean, it reminds me back again to Jésus de Montréal, right? That's the message they wanted to bring out of that film, just the love of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That is embodied for others, and is still somehow tied to him. Jesus has to be in that picture, but really the primary thing is the love, and that you're expressing that with these kids and embodying it.
Well, Jesus of Montreal is using the play to love. And to be inclusive and everything. I'm using the music that's my tool to get in touch with these teenagers. Right. Often we talk about John 14:6, like I'm the, je suis le chemin, la vérité, la vie.
The way, the truth, and the life.
And so we've learned that passage is for us to be saved, and but it's way more. Jesus is a model of, in this life, he's a path of knowing how God wants us to live and to have compassion and to have grace and to be these little miracles in everybody else's life.
It's embodied now. It's in our relationships now. It's in our music now. It's in all of that.
Yeah.
It strikes me, I love that little image you gave of being the miracle for other people, right? So being the miracle of God's love, and that becomes a call on my life. Am I being that kind of miracle? Am I living in a way that I could actually be the miracle of Christ for somebody else? That's that's a pretty high calling.
But it's never comfortable.
No. Right.
Never. You're always in a situation where you have to ask yourself, okay, am I doing the right thing? And do I have to change this and that? Is it okay? Is it not? But you're alive when you do that.
there are these Bible passages that are quite powerful, and the church today takes them as really instructive for its life. And that is when Jesus says, you know, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So if you've given that cup of cold water, then in a way you're being that miracle, right, of grace in somebody's life. There are two ways to read those texts. And one way of reading those texts is to see ourselves as followers of Christ, as those who are able to bear Christ into other people's lives in the ways that you've described it. Another way of reading those texts is to say that, in fact, other people are the presence of Christ to us. And I'm just wondering, in terms of that ministry you have with youth, ministry, job, work, vocation, do you have a sense that they are teaching you at all about Christ, or that they are helping you to see something of Christ that you might not have seen?
Every day.
Every day.
Oh, yeah. If I can go back when I was working with the homeless people, that's when I've learned that these people are teaching me the compassion of Christ every day. And I did an album in 2017, and the title of the album is Peace of Mind, because when I started working with the homeless people, you always want to do everything, and it's always you're like a clown. Okay, can you do this? And you want to be joyful and everything. And this guy, Chris, said to me, Bernard, stop it. When I come here, I want to paint, because I was doing art therapy with these people. I want to paint. And when I do that, I have peace of mind. That's the only thing I want to do. Stop trying to do everything for me. Just give me that space. That's where I've learned to say, okay, my job is to give the space where people can find peace of mind. Whether it's Chris, whether it's a youth who's doing music, helping him with his homework, I need to build a space where the people can find themselves and ultimately find Christ. Lately, I had to do some work in my office, and one of the person said, even when you're not there, we know that you're there. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus,
right?
But it's being there. They know that you're there. They know that they can come to you, and they can just, you're not far, and you're available for the people. And that's what people are looking for.
Yeah. I wanted to, we're on the theme of music with the youth, the work you're doing with the youth and sort of equipping them musically and training them. And the colleague you work with is also someone you're doing music with now, Marie-France. I think you wrote some music, or you're doing her music. I can't remember which it is.
All
a little
of
bit
the
of both,
above.
All of the above. Great. And so is that worship music? Is it Christian music? Is it Christian adjacent? Like, how do you characterize the music you're doing right now?
Well, she was an intern where I was working, and she has a great voice, so to make it short, I said, oh, wow. Okay. And after the internship that she did, and we started talking about something, and she said, I want to take this time in my life to know what my voice and God wants me to go. So we said, oh, we can try doing something together. So we're trying to write some stuff together, and it turns out that it's pretty interesting. And it gets me out of my comfort zone, and we always challenging ourselves to, oh, can we do this and that? And so we're writing music to address the situations of our society. Like, we wrote a song which is called Perfect that addresses the anxiety in our life that we've put into words. Like, one of the lines is, unreachable idealities brings right. me to my knees. So, and it's also the social media stuff that right. all the image that we want to
live up to,
live up
these
to
expectations,
exactly.
yeah.
And we can't, and deep down inside we're crying, you know. So that's a song about that. What is Christian music? Music is not Christian. I am a Christian, and I want to respond to the people around me. So I'm going to use whatever I can to respond to the suffering of what's around me. We went to play at the Joliette Blues Festival before the COVID-19. And we did a show, and we couldn't practice a lot. We were just starting to work together, but we had this opportunity to do that. And we did a show, an hour and a half, and a woman came to us and said, I don't know what you have, you two, but there's something that you have that other people don't have. So we're writing in French now, because we want to address the Quebec, which songs that talks about. There's a song in the spring that will come out, Prends ça easy, take it easy. So it's from the Sermon of the Mountain, Les oiseaux ne sèment ni ne moissonnent.
Right.
And God is taking care of them, so it's about that. And there's a song that I'm writing about, well, we both write our song, but one that I'm singing that talks about the present moment, and when you're with somebody, take the time to be with that person.
Right.
Not on your phone or
whatever. But even just the sense that
Christ wants to say something about these realities of our lives, right? So even I was thinking about, as you were speaking about the testimony given in the U.S. by this former executive of Facebook about what Instagram and Facebook know about what they're doing to young people, the impossible standard they're setting for young girls, especially young women, and feeding us all of the things that both affirm what we want to be and set an impossible standard for us, and just to have music that meets that, connects with that, that connects with how driven we can be in our culture, music that connects with our need to just slow down and be with people, not to be so driven either consumeristically or in terms of our career path. It strikes me that that's where God wants to meet us in all of that stuff that we're wrestling with, and through your music then, connecting the reality of Christ, even if not naming him, connecting the reality of Christ to these struggles that we have and trying to bless people and encourage them in those places.
Yeah. And ultimately to get in touch with the people. Music is our tool to get in touch with these people,
right,
to touch them with our own testimony, our own lives, and who we are, our faith. It's not just pitching the music over there,
right,
and saying, okay, it's done. So that's why I was saying, it's not about Christian music. It's about being Christian in our world.
Thank you, Bernard.
Thank you.
It's a good conversation. I wish, it's been 20 years, but I wish that we've had more time for more conversations through that period. But it's just a gift to be able to sit for a brief conversation and to share these things. And so I'm grateful. So
it's
thank you for the time.